Ronnie watched Raffaella covertly and wondered if she had heard about the opera singer. He hadn't really noticed before, thinking of her as George's girl, but she had a lovely line of jaw and throat when she lifted her head. Slender, without weakness, she seemed hardly aware of her grace. She was chuckling over something Buttons had said. Bubbles, beside him, waved a hand in front of his face.
"Wake up, sweet. You're staring right through Rafa, and it could make me jealous."
Bubbles exuded sensuality of a very studied sort, from silver nails to tumbled blonde curls, from the deep-plunging neckline of her clinging jersey to the cutouts on the long black tights. Next to the opera singer, he had always thought of Bubbles as the sexiest girl he knew, but at the moment he was finding her tiresome. She had been singing along with the lyrics from The Cube, and the opera singer had spoiled him. Now he could hear the breathiness and the slight errors of pitch.
Sorry. I was wondering what we're going to do all the time at your father's. Surely not fox hunting.
It's not that bad. I rather like it sometimes. If we jiggle the weather seats so it's not as cold and wet...
Father will find out. He likes authenticity.
I don't see how you can have authenticity when the foxes aren't even foxes. Didn't I read somewhere that they're actually reverse gen-engineered from cat genes?
Ronnie doubted Sarah's interest in bioengineering. She and Buttons had signed the second-level prenuptials, and this was her first official visit to his family. She would be trying to make points.
A chimera. Nobody bothered to save old Earth red fox genes, so what Dad's people did was go from descriptions, and use what seemed to work. Luckily, Hagworth had already done jackals from dogs, and two of the fox species that got publicity. The real problem was getting the color and the bushy tail with the white tip. Our neo-foxes are part kit fox, part jackal, a bit of cat, and raccoon for the tail.
Oh, I didn't know anyone saved raccoon genes. I thought they were too common.
Only to give an outcross for the red panda.
Ronnie would not have expected Buttons to know. But after all, his father was an enthusiast on many forms of hunting and preservation. Buttons went on to discuss the genetic possibilities at length. Ronnie let his mind drift to the opera singer, in whose bed he had learned about things that before had been only rumors, to the prince whose jealousy he had been glad to arouse, to that night in the mess when he had boasted. Somehow, it didn't seem quite as clever now as it had then. Perhaps Aunt Cecilia was right, and he had been a cad. No, the prince should have been a better sport. He reached up and stroked Bubbles' arm, wondering if anything would come of it. He could not think of anything to say, though, and after a few seconds, she withdrew the arm and stretched herself on the couch across from him. The same couch where she had been so unfortunately sick. He wondered if she remembered. She looked healthy enough now, though her expression of mild sulkiness fit his mood as well as hers.
I suppose we should get into shape. Your aunt has that handy little riding thing. An hour a day and none of us would have to worry about saddle sores.
Her simulator? Do what you like, George, but I have no intention of bouncing around on a mechanical horse. It's bad enough to contemplate bouncing around on a real one. Do you know she had the gall to order me riding attire?
Well, you'll need it.
Buttons had settled into a pose the male equivalent of Bubbles' sprawl. Together, they took up both of the couches. Ronnie wondered why he'd thought exile would be more fun with these people than alone. They were looking at him as if he were responsible for entertaining them, when none of it was his fault.
First of all, my father's head instructor will check you out before you're assigned your mounts.
And he's a terror. So far as I know, there's not a military unit in the known universe that still uses horses, but he acts like a cartoon drill instructor. You'll spend at least 2 hours trotting before he decides what to give you.
I'd like to see him test Aunt Cecilia.
Not her. She's an old guest, and he's more likely to ask her to test the horses. Pick what you like, m'lady. Not that there's anything here worth your time, is what he'll tell her.
Is she really that good?
Button stared at him, eyes wide.
You haven't ever seen her ride?
No. The family doesn't think much of her hobby.
Ronnie's father had said that often enough, and he'd heard his mother talking to his other aunts about poor dear Cecilia. What a shame she wasted her life on horses.
It was hardly a hobby, Ron. The woman won the All-Union Individual Cross-Country Championships 5 times and ranked in the top 5 for 15 years. Bubbles, do you remember when we were just learning to ride and old Abel was yelling at us and she stopped him?
She got me over my first jump.
Bubbles sat upright. She looked less like a fluffhead than usual. Could she possibly enjoy hunting? Ronnie had a brief, unpleasant view of himself married to a fox-hunting wife. No, it would not do.
Oh, I'd forgotten. That was that old gray pony, the one that seemed to like dumping us. She didn't yell at me, she just talked me through it.
Yes, and then she got on one of the good horses and showed us what we were supposed to be doing. Abel fairly purred.
Ronnie felt a knot in his head tightening. It wasn't fair that they knew more about his aunt than he did. That they admired his aunt for things he hadn't known about, and that his family hadn't respected. Things were not going the way he'd planned. He'd expected his friends to rally around him, support him, do what he wanted. And here they were, swapping stories of his old maiden aunt.
Does everyone hunt together?
If Ronnie couldn't avoid the topic of horses, at least he could get the conversation away from his aunt.
How many horses does your father have, anyway?
To answer your first question, no. There are 3 hunts out of the main house, where we'll be. Each has its own territory. We'll each be assigned to one of them, depending on riding ability. As for horses, well, many thousands, I suppose, altogether. The main house stables will hold 500, though we won't use that many. Hunters, hacks, young horses in training.
Ronnie tried to imagine 500 horses in the same place and failed. The academy had had 10 for the training of its young officers, and he had no idea what a hack was. He was not about to ask.
But we don't hunt every day. Some people do, but most ride out on alternate days, particularly in the lower hunts where they're not as good and get really stiff.
Ooh, I'll get really stiff.
Isn't there anything else but hunting?
There are other kinds of hunting. Not all of it's on horseback. You can shoot grouse and pheasant, that sort of thing. It's the wrong season for fishing in the nearby streams. Indoors, well, the things my father assumes were normal indoor sports of the time. Billiards, cards, amateur theatricals.
Oh, dear.
Worse than Ronnie had imagined. Worse than his mother had imagined, he was sure. Traveling with a wealthy aunt on a private yacht had seemed like a good idea when his mother mentioned it. Perhaps he'd have been better off going to some dull assignment in an out-of-the-way base. At least it wouldn't have had fox hunting, and his work might have kept him busy part of the time.
There are other places on the planet, but we can't possibly get away more than once. We should save that for when you're really desperate. Oh, poor Ronnie.
Ronnie wanted to snarl at her. Poor Ronnie, indeed. He needed real sympathy, not the mocking look Bubbles had given him. He needed them to understand that it wasn't his fault. None of it.
I'm not desperate. For all you know, I may take to hunting as easily as any other sport. I may be leaping over fences and dashing along at a run.
A gallop?
Whatever. I mean, I'm naturally athletic, perfectly fit. How hard can it be?
Better try your aunt's simulator. You may find a few muscles that aren't quite perfectly fit. You should do well, Ronnie, really. You're right. You are a natural athlete. It's quite possible that after a few lessons, you'll be up to riding in the field. But it's not like anything else.
Ronnie forced himself to smile and wondered if he could hide in his stateroom all day and night, watching entertainment cubes until they got to Buttons's home planet. Probably not. He was going to have to think of something they could do, something fun, something to reestablish his leadership of the group, something mischievous, perhaps. Play a harmless, practical joke on the old lady or the crew.
You may be right. I'll see what you look like on the simulator first, and then we'll see.
We ought to see about some swimming, I think. Come on, girls. Let's go play in the water.
Before Ronnie quite knew how it happened, the girls had vanished, and his two bosom friends were watching him, bright-eyed.
Come on. Tell us more about that opera singer. Is it true they have specially developed muscles?
I didn't ask you if it was going fine. I asked you what the sulfur extraction rate was. Do you know or not?
With each day, Harris's unease about the yacht's basic fabric and systems had grown. Getting answers from the crew had turned out to be harder than she expected. The moles looked at one another.
Well, pretty much, Captain. It's below nom at the moment, but it usually runs that way because the dauber wants a sulfuric sludge for his veggie plots.
It took Harris a moment to translate Civtech slang and decide this meant Lady Cecilia's gardener wanted more sulfur in the first pass sludge. In the meantime, they still had not answered as she thought they should.
Below nom is not what I'm looking for. What precisely is the number you have for sulfur clearance?
Again, the sidelong look from one mole to another.
It's, 0.3. Off first sig norm, that is.
Which is?
Well, the book says 1.8, but the system's never worked any better than 1.6, just under first sig. Mostly we run about 2 sigs below, say about 0.7 or so. System's underutilized, so it's not that important. It's rated for a population of 50, and we don't have that many aboard.
Harris closed her eyes briefly, running over the relevant equations in her head. Sulfur clearance was only one of the major cycles, but critical to the ship's welfare because errors could not only make people sick, but degrade many ship components as well. Delicate comm equipment didn't like active sulfur radicals in the ship's atmosphere. She added ship's crew, house staff, and owner's family.
In case you haven't noticed, we now have 51 humans and a long voyage ahead of us. I presume you flushed the tanks and re-inoculated them while we were in port?
But the hangdog looks told her they hadn't.
And the last logged maintenance by off-ship personnel was this Deklos and Sons, Backland Station?
That's right, ma'am. They couldn't have done such a good job, fancy pants as they are, because the system never did pick up the points. But Captain Nolan said never mind.
Oh, he did.
Harris struggled to keep her thoughts off her face. First, his demand for an odd, inconvenient course that did not meet the owner's needs, and now a tolerance for malfunctioning environmental equipment, something no sane captain would have. Failing to order the tanks flushed and recharged at Rockhouse might have been spite, revenge for being fired, but until then he had risked his own life as well. What could have made the risk worth it?
We'd better see how bad it is. Suit up and we'll go take a look.
You, Captain?
Ickland almost never spoke, Harris had discovered, letting chatty Timmons say anything necessary. But now he looked worried. Harris let her brows rise. It had worked on other ships. It should work here.
Did you think I wouldn't want to check for myself?
Well, it's not that, Captain. Only, these things can smell pretty bad.
Pretty bad was an entirely inadequate description of a malfunctioning sulfur loop, and Harris was sure more than the sulfur scrubbers were in trouble. Once the pH had gone sour, many of the enzymes in other loops worked erratically as the chemistry fluctuated.
That's why we'll be suited. 5 minutes in the number 4 access bay.
Complete suits? They're awfully hot.
You prefer to risk the consequences? With a system you know is malfunctioning?
It just stinks.
Harris glared at him.
All right, Captain. Suits. Damn lot of nonsense. Can't be enough reaction in that loop to give us more than a headache at worst.
Quickly, Harris gave Gavin his orders for the next hour. Which compartments to seal, which backup crew to have ready, suited, in case of trouble. Then into her own suit, the cost of which had come from the advance on her contract, and which she never begrudged. Whatever else on this gilded cesspool of a yacht did or did not work as designed, her own personal self-contained suit would, or her family would enjoy the large sum which Xenix guaranteed if any of its suits failed. She wasn't worried. Only twice in the past 50 years had Xenix had to pay out. For an instant, she thought something had gone wrong on the bridge, but then she realized what it must be. One of those fools hadn't waited for her.
Captain!
What is it? I'm at E7 right now.
Ahead of her, a gray contamination barrier flapped down from the overhead, its central access closed.
Computer says dangerous chemical, sulfur something, and the motion sensor said someone was there but isn't moving. But they're in suits.
Harris mentally cursed civilians in general and the ship's former captain in particular.
Get those backups down here. Make sure they have their helmets locked on. I'm going in.
Despite her faith in Xenix's legendary suits, she shivered a moment. The gas in there was deadlier than many military weapons, but so familiar throughout human history that people just did not respect it. She wriggled through the access iris, which lengthened into a tube and sealed itself behind her. The suit's own chemical sensors flicked to life, giving the readout she expected. Hydrogen sulfide, here in less than life-threatening concentration. Harris hurried, even though she knew it would almost certainly be too late. Around the corner, she came upon Timmons, who had suited up but not locked on his helmet. Presumably, he'd planned to do so when he got to the access bay itself. He lay sprawled on the floor, one arm outstretched toward Ickland, slumped against the open access, wearing no protective gear at all. She went to Timmons first, locking his helmet in place and turning his oxygen supply to full with the external override. Her suit had all the necessary drugs for standard industrial inhalation accidents, but she'd never used it, nor was she a medic. She'd have to rely on the backup team. Ickland wasn't breathing at all, and no wonder. The hydrogen sulfide concentration in here had peaked at over 1,000 parts per million, according to the monitor above the open access hatch. Inside, someone, presumably Ickland, had cracked the seal on a sludge tank. It was brim full, far above the safety line. A black line of filth drooled over its lip. Harris picked up the wrench on the floor, closed the cover, and tightened the seal, then closed the hatch. Now the monitor indicated the concentration was below 200 parts per million. Still dangerous, but not instantly lethal.
We're lucky the agitator wasn't on in the sludge tank. And why not? Or the concentration could have been a log or so higher.
A shadow moved at the corner of her vision. The backup team, that would be the number two engineering officer and the off-shift senior mole, came around the corner and stopped. Even through their helmets, their eyes showed wide and staring.
Come on, get Timmons to the med box. He might have a chance.
It seemed to her they moved too slowly, but they did wrestle Timmons back up the corridor toward the contamination barrier.
Bridge, Ickland's dead. Hydrogen sulfide. Apparently he opened the sludge tank without any protective gear. We have three problems here. Timmons first. Is that medical AI capable of handling inhalation injuries? Second, we've got to clear up the rest of the contamination, and the system is too overloaded to resorb it unless you can come up with a cargo section full of reactant. And third, of course, is Ickland. We need medical and legal evaluation. I will take that up with Lady Cecilia. Oh, and another thing. We're not going to continue in this unsafe condition. I want Sirkin to plot a course to the nearest major repair facility, preferably on the way to our destination.
Well, the med box... Well, I don't know, Captain. It's not, you know, meant for major problems.
At least you can tell it the problem. All I know is it's a cellular poison, and there's some kind of antidote. Now, send someone down with a recorder so that I can document Ickland's position in the monitor readings. Then we can bring his body out.